Hello, I'm Kristen Marchand, and this is the Op Yongo Line, a podcast dedicated to appreciating the local heritage and unique culture of the Upper Madawaska and Op Yongo River Valleys here in Eastern Ontario, Canada. We hope Easter Bunny was especially good to you this year and that you're well on your way to recovering from your semi-annual chocolate coma. To help you along, we have on offer some special medicine, an hour or so of softly walking down memory lane through some great old local glory days. Put another way, last month something very unique happened in the old ladies and escorts room at the Balmoral Hotel here in Barry's Bay. Nearly 40 men, all over 70 years of age, gathered together to chat amongst themselves about one of the great wonders of their youth. Back in the autumn of 1967, they had all come to Barry's Bay, not only to attend the opening of their spanking brand new Madawaska Valley District High School, but they also had tried out and won spots on MVDHS's premier sports team, the Wolves men's hockey team. It was a very unique hockey team that within 5 years would win everything there was to win in a non-high school league that reached right across most of Eastern Ontario. As it happened, we recorded that very exclusive meeting in the Balmoral last month, and we will play it for you in just a few moments. Afterwards, we will also bring you a roundtable discussion with four of those early MVDHS Wolves hockey players. But it's time now to join that raucous bunch of boys in the Balmoral. And just so you don't get lost in the lineup of sometimes chaotic speakers, know that the first to speak is Joe Drago, now 84 years old. But back in 1967, Mr. Drago was not only the new head of guidance at MVDHS, but he was also the toughest hockey coach ever to grace the old gray lady. That was the affectionate name given to the old natural ice arena that once majestically reigned along Main Street here in Barry's Bay, and that on most Sunday nights at this time of year, when hockey playoffs were well underway, the MVDHS Wolves would be in all their glory, playing in front of the old gray lady's full legal limit of 1,800 cheering fans, all drawn from nearby towns and villages hither and yon. After Mr. Drago, you'll hear another dozen eloquent Wolves players who all played for that team in those first 5 years. They include Ronnie Murray, Bruce Howard, Dennis Gino, Dave Keel, Dave Shulist, Frank Shulist, Sean Conway, Aaron Cameron, Tom Burkatt, David Sullivan, Mike Shulist, and Don O'Reilly. Here's Coach Drago to lead off the discussion, if not the charge.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I'm famous for being careful when there's a microphone in front of me because he said you only have an hour, and I don't usually speak for less than 2 or 3 hours. But anyway, I'm so happy that I'm here because I have not been in Barry's Bay since I left. And my hockey career came to an end, and I was looking at what I was going to do in the future. And at the time, I was contemplating going to Italy to play because I'm of Italian descent. I could play in the Italian team and maybe going to law school because I had a degree in business administration. And my high school math teacher was going to be going to Sturgeon Falls to be a principal. And he called me and said, why don't you come? And I said, well, I really don't want to be a teacher. I hated school when I was there as a kid. I don't think I want to be a teacher. But anyway, I decided to go for a year, and then I was going to go to law school or play hockey. Well, I never got to law school, but I played hockey. And hockey was my life forever. So, starting to teach in Sturgeon, Jeff Post, who you all know, I'm sure, was the VP at the school. And Sylvia Post and my wife Sylvia, we got to be very close friends. And he said, they're going to be building a school in Barry's Bay. Why don't you come for a year or so, and I'll have a job. Sylvia was a phys ed teacher, and I was in guidance, and he said we can have a good time. So eight of us came from that school in Sturgeon to Barry's Bay, and we were four couples. The husband and wives were all teachers, and it was really a good move. But when I got here, this town was pretty sneaky. They didn't tell me the truth about Berry's Bay, because all I saw was all the wonderful things. I didn't know that I might have an outdoor toilet. I didn't know that I might not have water in my house. But fortunately, there was a guy that was your manager of the Stedman store. His name was Rakowski. And they had built a new home, and it was a beautiful home. And he didn't want anybody to rent it. He was being transferred to Huntsville, to the Stedman store. But he didn't want anyone with children, because they might wreck this house, and he wanted to come back. So Sylvia and I were the only couple without kids, so we got the house. But it was ironic, because Pat Carroll became the principal. And I was shaving one morning, and I see him trouncing to the outhouse. So I opened the window and I said, "Hey, Pat, how are things going out there?" And you know that F word? I had to close my window, because he was very vulgar with me. But anyway, we loved our home, and we loved what was going on here. My first daughter was born in Berry's Bay, and thinks she's from Hollywood, so she tells everybody she was born in New York City, but I tell them she was born in Sherwood Township. But anyway, I'm in the office one day, and I said to the Post and Carol, "You know, this is a beautiful school. We've got to get some extracurricular activities going here." I was the head of guidance in the school. And I said, "Hockey is in my blood, and why don't we try to have a hockey team?" Well, we ended up that I went to the school board, and your chairman at the time was a guy named Murray Daly. And I spoke with Murray, and he was all gung-ho, "We should have hockey." He was a big, strong sports guy. And he said, "You go ahead." And that's before super boards, that this board was responsible for the school. We didn't have to go to a regional for anything. And he said, "You do what you have to do, and don't worry about money. Just let me know what you're doing all the time." So that's how we started. I went on the PA, I'll never forget that. Said, "We're going to start a hockey program, and any interested boys that would like to play hockey," and at that time you didn't say boys and girls, it was going to be a boys team. And our first practice, as I told Dave the other day, they were lined up from the goal line to the second blue line. So, and I was trying to do line rushes with kids that didn't know their ass from page two as far as hockey was concerned. Really and truly, they didn't really know much about hockey, but they could skate like the wind, and they had nothing but big hearts. So we did some cutting, and we formed a team. Now we needed a league to play in. And of course, there wasn't a high school league at that time, so we became a high school team and a junior B league. And we played with places like Renfrew and Pembroke and Eganville and this kind of thing. And geez, we had a hell of a team. And we had guys, where was my first captain? He was in shape in those days. I said to him, he came over to shake my hand, I said, "Ronnie, you got big." But he was a hell of a player. He was a hell of a player. And you know, we played in that old barn, and we filled it every game. And the teachers in the school, I had breakfast with Jeff, or coffee, I should say, with Jeff Post this morning. And he said, "Boy, the hockey team in the school regenerated an interest in this town that we hadn't seen forever." And the enthusiasm, even the teachers, when we had a game, almost the entire staff were in attendance. So at the end of the year, I decide I'm going to go home, because I'm going to get involved in Major Junior A hockey. And I got involved with the Sudbury Wolves. But I went to see Murray Daly, and I said, "You know, over the year you've told me to keep the money that we have. And now what do I do with the money?" Because we had a substantial bank account, because we did pack the rink all the time. He said, "You do what you think is best. So you see these blue leather jackets? That was what was best." We bought every kid, I say kids, but we bought every player a blue leather jacket. And in those days, leather was just like gold. Right?
Exactly.
And I said, like, now, if Ronnie was alive here tonight, I'd have to do the old side of beef to give him a jacket. But anyway, there's a jacket. And it was the best leather you could get. And I'll tell you, the players didn't know that they were going to get a jacket, I should say. But we presented the jacket. We had a dinner. And we had the fathers come along with the players. And we gave them a jacket. And I'll tell you, the enthusiasm was the same as that first practice when all those guys came out to the arena to try out for the team. So I have very fond memories of my time here in Barry's Bay. Coming back to see the changes in the community and to see people that I had a lot to do with in hockey and in the school was really a big blow to me. Not a blow, but made me feel really good. I was very emotional. Yesterday, David wined and dined us, and we toured everything, went to the school and to the arena, and I thought, boy, what a beautiful arena, to think of the one we used to, when we had to pee, it went out into the snowbank.
Correct. So you told the story about the naming of the team.
Yeah.
Do you want to repeat that?
Yeah. Well, again, when we decided we were going to have a team, it was logical to have a logo and to have a name. So again, talking to Carol and Post, they said, well, what do you want to call the team? And I said, well, coming from Sudbury, and I played for the Sudbury Wolves when I was a kid. So I said, they tell me Madawaska Valley and the Algonquin Park is loaded with wolves. And I said, wouldn't that be appropriate to be the Madawaska Wolves? And they said, is that the name you want? I said, I think it would be a wonderful name. So I can tell Liam, if he ever changed the name, I'd have to come here and kick the hell out of him. But anyway, that's how it all started. I had a wonderful experience. And my first daughter was born here, as I said. And Barry's Bay will always be a big part of my memories and a big part of my heart. So thank you for inviting me back. I'm really pleased to be here.
Very good.
Okay, who's next?
What about our captain, Sean?
Well, yeah, Ron, you
were
on that.
Ronnie, you
were
on there.
Come on, Ron.
Yeah, could you? Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Ron.
I'll make it about you.
Get up there. You've got to go to
I'm the coach. I get the last word.
I'll stand on this side. Yeah,
good
He's on a break.
You're going to get some free
drinks. Prince Julius is on a break.
He's not going to score. Yeah. Yeah. He won't be back.
He's on a break.
How's it going? Huh? Yeah, well, I remember the first year, all right, where it was a little haywire for a while, to say the least. But we competed, and, you know, like tried to, we didn't win too much, but I can always remember the practices were the worst. But, got used to it after a while. I guess we almost got into shape. But I remember the one game we played in Renfrew, and Renfrew was one of the stronger teams than that. You know, when, you know, a junior B team, we were a high school team, basically. But they had no trouble beating us, but we always give them a hard time. On and off, I guess we'd call it. But, yeah, so they got really upset. I don't think it was me they were upset at, but it was a combination of what. And here we drove around in a school bus.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you remember that? The cop rolls up to the bus. And Joe and I got a police escort into the bus. No, that was... The people out there were not very friendly. No, so I remember that one. That was pretty. They weren't going to hurt us, I don't think, but they did a lot of shouting and that. But then, Remember, the practices were brutal, but none of us were ever in shape, and it was not hard to tell after an hour out there. But the whining finally sort of subsided a bit after a while, but we realized that we're not in too bad a shape now, but that was in May or whatever time it was. But Joe was sort of a little hard-nosed at times, but he got to, when he got to us, that's what we needed. That's everybody was playing here, sort of. But I don't want to sit here out here and, pick on people, so I'll just...
Well, he picked on you.
Yeah, I mean, I pick on myself, too. I was only there 2 years, so I left just after you did. Yeah. I didn't go to what you went. I don't think I went to work or somewhere. I forget. But it was fun. Yes. It was, we're usually outmatched, but we give it 100%, and sometimes we had some fun with it. I thought anyway, so. But to me anyway, a lot of fond memories with a bunch of guys that played together as best we could, and sometimes the outcome wasn't as great as we thought, but it's still fun to play with, so thanks, Joe.
Very good, sir.
I said you didn't talk that much at your daughter's wedding.
No. Did you hear that? Oh, Bruce Howard.
I got to meet Mr. Drago, Joe. My first year, I moved to Barry's Bay the same year. New at the high school, I was 14, the youngest guy on the team. Mr. Drago took me on. I was the smallest guy too, but he was nice enough to pair me with Richard Shulis, because he said I wasn't the nicest guy out there. If you get in trouble, don't drop your stick and gloves till he drops his, then hit him with your stick. He might get up and hurt you. But I had Richard backing me up. And I remember Mr. Drago. Him and my dad were good friends back then. But it was so cold in the arena, he used to take hot Italian sausage, put in his boots to keep warm. And I don't know whether the wife got the sausage after that. I hope not.
They were very good to eat.
But I feel very privileged. I moved here the same year, and I was selected to play. I was the youngest guy. I think you had to have a young guy to play anyways, just to even the things out. But playing with Ronnie, he was one of the best guys I ever played with. Because he could fight, skate, and I think he taught me how to drink. And I got pretty good at it. But all my friends are here. And I moved back to Hamilton after, but I still call this home. And they're all good friends. Yeah. So thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
you think Ronnie Murray was and Joe, this sort of seems to be a tribute to you tonight, but I never played for you. Thank God, from what I hear. But I played after you had left. But I played against you because you played for Barry's Bay in the senior league.
Yeah.
I remember you and I spending time in the penalty box. And you told me that you were going to kill me. And so I went to the bench and I said to my coach, I'm not going back out. But anyway, and that's, I tell nothing but true stories. But some of the memories with the Wolves. I got a phone call from Bill Hoon, who preceded you. And he said, Dennis, he said, we'd like you to play hockey for the Wolves. Bill, I said, I always wanted to, but apparently there's a rule out there that you have to go to school. I ducked out early. And he said, yes, Dennis, he said, but I think we can work around that one. And so I played for the Wolves. And then the next story is, and I wish he was here, Dennis Callahan.
Yeah.
But he was in the corner. We were playing, I forget which team. And he was yippy-yapping. There was about four of the opponents gathered around him. And I was on the bench. I jumped over the boards, threw off the gloves, and I was going in to help Callahan. And after everything was settled, penalties, I got out of the penalty box and I skated across to the bench. And I remember Bill Hill, Gino, into the dressing room, take your stuff off, you are not playing anymore today. And I was in the dressing room, I threw my equipment, I was mad. And he came in, he said, Dennis, he said, I know, but you can't do that in this hockey. And that was pretty much the end of my career with the Wolves. But all of these guys here, you know them all. You know them all, you've met them again. And they're a great crew. And it's a memory in my life that's always been there, always will be. Thanks, guys. Girls.
Coherent and entertaining.
Should have been a politician, eh?
Except you have to turn that hat in if you want to be a winner, not a loser.
Yeah, and you can never be that honest.
Give it time, Sean. Give it time.
First of all, I want to thank everybody for showing up this weekend, because this is going to stay with us for the rest of our lives, and we probably won't get another opportunity to do this. The one highlight that I like and I remember quite often is when we played the Pembroke Lumber Kings and we beat them. And they came up with more excuses why a little team from Barry's Bay could beat the Lumber Kings. But I always remember that, and we played as a team and we won as a team. So that's my good memory of the Wolves. Thanks.
I have to say something.
No.
I know you don't like it, but that's it. No, trust me, I'm a politician. Anyway, I felt really good and proud to be part of the Wolves. I mean, when that was created, that was something that impacted the whole community, all communities across the Manawaska Valley. I never did make the team of Mr. Drago, but one thing is that he let me always be at the practices, and boy, were they tough, and everybody realized that. We all had skill as far as skating, stick handling. We did this on the ponds, out the and those rinks and whatever, right? Outdoor rinks. But when we came to that rink, we didn't have a clue about the game. I mean, we have watched it maybe on TV, whatever, but he is the one that instilled the game of hockey to us, so much appreciated. But there's one story you got to tell, and this has nothing to do with you. I think it was something like the second or third year I finally made the team. Horace Decker was the coach in that. But I remember one game, because really I wasn't that good, and that's fine. But I was still part of the team. I remember this one game. I had to get rid of this one guy, because if he had one more fight, he wouldn't be able to get into the playoffs, right? So here it was, Decker says, Chillis, out there, you know, get that guy out of this game, right? So I go, I don't know anything about fighting. So I go out there, you know, and it, the puck's not even dropped. This is how much I know about fighting. And I start going, well, guess what? I'm in the box for 5 minutes and he's still standing in there. Another story I have to say, and this Sean Conway will remember this here. But I'm a defenseman. I've saved him many a times. Right? Of course, he saved me a lot of times. But this guy gets around me, right? And I've got a long reach, and I wail around my stick, and it falls out of my hand, right? Did it really? Who knows? All of a sudden, it's penalty shot time. Well, Sean flips out, right? And he goes into my defense here. He says, no, that was not intentional. The referee did not want to hear it. And I don't know, did you get kicked out of that game or something? Because you got... Thank you very much for supporting me. But I'll tell you what, it's... Anyway, those are the experiences. Thank you. And again, thanks for letting me practice with you. That's why I'm in such good shape. Thank you.
They told me you could fight.
So, my name's Frank, everyone. I was one of the original players with Joe here. I'm not used to talking like this, but I only got one story I remember. So here I am, Polish kid out of Wilno, nervous as hell, playing with these big boys from Killaloe and all these other guys. Most of the time, a lot of times I remember Joe instructing me by, end of the bench. But anyway, but there was one game I remember, and it was a scrabble in front of the net. The goaltender had his thing, I'm banging him. The other defenseman takes an offense, comes at me, yeah? I'm a pretty big guy, and on skates I'm a little bigger, so I just grab the guy, and I hold him like this, and the guy is swinging away, doesn't come close to me, and I don't know what to do, I just, anything, and finally, but it was towards the end of the period anyway, and whistle blows and everything. And it all goes down, but it was sort of, I don't think there was, I'd landed the punch, I don't think he did. And we all get into the dressing room, and all my teammates are saying, hey, good one, Frank, you showed him what to do, eh? Joe Drago walks into the room. The first place he goes to is me. He says, Shulist, you want to fight? Fight. Don't friggin' dance.
I want to just make a point. Joe talked about the origins of the team. Murray Daly was a very good friend of mine, and one of the things that the school board, the Madawaska Valley District School Board, this is before there was a Renfrew County Consolidated Board, one of the things the board had in its mind when it decided to support a hockey team was trying to build some togetherness among communities that each had high schools, Killaloe, Cumbermere, Barry's Bay, I guess those three. So they create this new regional Madawaska Valley District Board. There was a bit of contention about where the high school got located, and there was a feeling that maybe it would be a wise thing to try to build some togetherness. And boy, did that work. And I wanted to just make the point, Dave said the Barry's Bay crowd, but what I remember, it worked spectacularly, because in those very early years, if you were on the ice and you looked at the crowd, which as Joe said was very, very good, half because we had the two Camerons, Jimmy Dunn from Madawaska.
Yeah.
Half of Madawaska was in the arena.
Yeah.
Because we had the two Micahs, and we had, in my day, Fannenhauer. Was it Bob Fannenhauer?
Yeah,
Bob Fannenhauer from Cumbermere Palmer. So there was a very strong representation from that part of the constituency. There were, there couldn't have been a Shulist left in Wilno because they were all on the team. There was David, there was Richard, there was Mike, there was Frank. Killaloe, we've already heard from Ronnie Murray, Andy Murray, Dennis Callahan, Dave Keel, Dennis Kino.
I thought you got up there to introduce someone.
Well, yeah, but I want to make an important point that it was a very regional team. And that made it that much more attractive, I think. Barry's Bay, you know, there was two or three Yakubuskis, Frank, Paul, Kim. Basil Billings,
Larry Shalit, Danny Hutter, I'm forgetting some of the Sullivans later on. I'm talking about in those early years. Tommy Burke, Conrad Cebulski, Tommy Burkett, absolutely. We should get Tommy Burkett up here. I played a lot of hockey, but I'll tell you, I was lucky enough to have defensemen like Bruce Howard, Tommy Burkett, Richard Schulist, really outstanding hockey players. So it has to be understood that the school board's intention was to have a team that would bring the broader community together to support something associated with this new creation that was Madawaska Valley District High School. Interestingly, as soon as the consolidated board took over, as far as I can understand, the school board cut its connections and the Lions Club took over. So have I given the boys here from Madawaska just enough time to digest the food? Well, Doug, you're the older of the two, and I'm going to ask you to come. They look at them. Not only were they great players, but their parents, Ken and Jean, if you remember those years, were the most loyal fans. And if not for your sake, Doug and Alan, for your parents' sake, get up here and say something.
Come on, boys.
Sean, I'd like to say one thing. You know, Berry's Bay has always been in my mind, because when I came here, I couldn't believe that everybody's name ended in a ski. So one of my favorite jokes when I speak at banquets, I remember Berry's Bay, and I always say, who was Alexander Graham Yakubuski? You say, I don't know. You say, the first telephone pole from Berry's Bay.
Thank you. So I came along a couple of years later.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason was Joe Drago had such a reputation for being such a tough coach that I wanted to make sure he was away for a whole year or so before I came along. I was in Bancroft. We were going to Bancroft High School at that point. So anyways, we came along. We played. I played in the 70-71 71-72 years. We went in 71-72. Had a great group of players in both those years. Always enjoyed our time. There was always the stories, the one that Dennis, I think you brought up with Sean. Bruce Howard was one of the guys we always showed up to the games with and went home at the same time, and there was always a little bit of alcohol involved on the trip. We just had a great 2 years of hockey and loved every minute of it.
The only thing I would add is I had a year with Joel, and I remember the practices. I still suffer from them, but we had great time, and it was. I look back on it and look around. It was great.
Thank good stuff. Mr. Drago was talking about beginning his hockey team. But I remember, I guess, when he was still thinking about it, or it was a cooler day in September, and Conrad Cebulski and I were walking down the hall, and we had hockey jackets on. Mr. Drago's come from the other side, and he stops us. And he says, do you guys play hockey? He says, yeah, everybody plays hockey. So I think that's one of the things they built his spirit so he could, have a hockey team in Berry's Bay. But I want to tell you one story about a hockey game in Renfrew. That was in the late 60s, the height of the Vietnam War. And Richard Schulis had got knocked out. He had a concussion, he got a wicked body check. I got a shot in my leg, and of course he was out of the game. I got a shot in my leg, and during the period, Mr. Drago said, you better undress, you're not going to play the rest of the game.
and go sit with Richard Shulis and look after him so he doesn't wander away. Because he wasn't sure where the heck he was. But I mentioned about the Vietnam War, because there was two cops standing behind us. Because there was some incidents in the stands and everything. And we were sitting there. Something else happened. I forget if it was in the stands or on the ice. One cop says to the other, "This is worse than Vietnam." But I didn't. We were just having fun. And he thought it was something more than that. Well, I guess they had their job to do, too. But anyway, that's one of the memories that I got out of it. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
So I forgot one other thing. So you guys will probably remember that Jim Howard and my dad were always behind the bench. And the thing that happened in hockey in the 1960s and 70s was that people were sitting back there smoking their cigarettes and talking about the hockey game. And of course, Jim Howard was always out on the practices, and he liked to make sure that we always were pretty well up for every game. But my dad and Jim, great friends, constantly, always, you could always count on them to be behind the bench, having their cigarette and helping the coaching staff play their game. So I just wanted to make sure that Jim and Dad got their little deer.
I got a little story for you guys. By the way, I'm Dave Sullivan. Those who know me don't want to, and the ones that don't, you're a happy man. Anyways, this has to do with Richard Shulis. Before I came on board, I used to go to all the games like everybody else. And two of the funniest things that I've seen have to do with Bruce Howard and Richard Shulis in the same game. Bruce, you're right. You were the youngest guy on the team at that time. And you had the funniest looking mouthpiece I ever seen. I said, what the hell is that? Well, that's okay. Anyways, everybody remembers Don Green and Bill White, the referees, right? They were at every game, right? And they were good referees. Anyways, maybe not for you, Ronnie, or not for you, Dennis. But anyways, Richard liked to scrap. You can't fault him for that. Anyways, Don Green blows a whistle for whatever infraction it was, and Richard's right on his butt, all the way to the penalty box, squealing and yapping, and I can still hear some of the words he was saying. He gets to the penalty box, and he turns around, and he said, "Shulis, if you want 2 minutes, keep yapping." Well, it wasn't Richard. It was one of your players, Richardson, went into the box. So it was a funny thing coming from Richard, because honestly, Richard was my defenseman hero when I was growing up. Anyways, that's before I came on board.
I just wanted to follow up on David's story. I was, my first 2 years I played basketball at school, and then I became the worst player on the best team instead of one of the better team, better players on the worst team. But loved sharing memories about you, the high school, the but David talked about Sean getting a tirade. Yeah. I do believe it was in Deep River, and I didn't know who threw the stick. We were up 4-0 against Deep River, and there was only Sean, and he got a penalty for whatever. He scored on the penalty. There was a penalty shot after, and they scored, and Sean just went after the ref.
Yeah,
and you knew he was going to be a politician, because every time Ronnie Murray, or somebody else got a
penalty, the first thing they would do is turn around and say, that person was hooking, or they were just, and Sean, the referee was just waiting for him to say the F word, and just waiting. He was literally, and Sean was getting, and he, ref, you're lower than the scum on a snake's belly. You, if you had one more eye, you'd be a cyclops. You couldn't, you know, like, where's your white cane, buddy? You know, like, he just totally, and the referee just stood there for 2 minutes saying, say, you know, the words you can't say. And I remember him getting kicked out, and the crowd, Deep River, was cheering. It was Frank Cox, I do believe, was, yeah. And Sean's going around the rink, 4 for us, 1 for you. And just, like, this was just, like, I knew he was going to be Minister of Education. Okay, he was a politician, and, but he's going to tell you some different lies.
Okay. All right, I've got it's twice this story has been raised. It's mostly correct, but, and Joe, you know this from being around hockey a long time. You never know what you say here will come back to bite you there. It was Deep River. It was a really cold night in February of 1970, I think. There was a very questionable call that led to a penalty shot, led to a goal, that led to an argument, which I lost. And if you remember the Deep River Arena, all the seats were behind the nets. So if you were a goaltender, you got harassed there more than you got harassed in places like Shawville or Petawawa.
House of Commons.
And anyway, I decided that I'd had enough. And so I did make a speech of a sort, and I did get kicked out. And in the speech and in the departure, I think you're too kind to me, Michael. I do recall having to rely on the best of my Madawaska lumberyard vernacular. And it's only important because as I made my exit, there was a very nice older gentleman standing there. And I went by, he got an earful too. And then I got showered, I came back out. And he stopped me on the way back out and he said, excuse me, young man, but I have a question. It turns out he was the head of the organization that operated the Deep River hockey team. And he introduced himself, his name was Bob Lee, I can remember to this day. And he said, I just wondered if you were related to Teresita Murray. My mother, who taught in the Deep River area, well, back in the early 40s. Well, you can imagine what that makes you feel like. I sort of, certainly...
Tell your mother.
Yeah, well, that's... The only thing that was more memorable than that was 5.5 years after that speech, I remember knocking on doors in Deep River for another activity. And I don't want to overstate the number, but there were more than a few people. Conway. My son played on the Deep River Knights hockey team. And they had a goal. They had to play in that awful rink in Barry's Bay, Joel. And cold as hell and rough as hell. And there was a goaltender with a very bad tongue. And I just wondered if you were related to that person. And I said, well, you know, if you check the phone book, there are a lot of Conways in Barry's Bay.
I'm not really prepared for this. I guess growing up as a kid in Killaloe, you always want to play for the Wolves, right? We've seen this happen, you know, 3 or 4 years before I got to able to play. Any big memories I have? And I guess a couple after the team, I guess, won the championship before we played. So we go back in the Petawawa the next year, and they kicked the living shit out of us. I guess because they couldn't do with the previous team. So they took liberties on us. Other than that, I think it's in those years, those Wolves years, I think minor hockey definitely jumped up several strides because of that organization, right? It was good hockey, and everybody strived to make the Wolves in those years. So, and after that, I think there was a few players that had a shot at the NHL, Trader, Shoot, did well, so the other players came close. But if it wasn't for the Wolves, I don't think these players would have strived that hard, because there was an objective. If you're a kid, you wanted to make the Wolves team. So that's all I got, guys. And it's a pleasure to meet you, Joe, and to start this whole Wolves story.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Later that same day, the boys were loaded up on a school bus, not unlike the one they used to take to their away games back in the late 1960s and early 1970s. But instead of heading out to Renfrew or Deep River, they were taken instead to the Paul J. Yakabuski Community Center here in Barry's Bay. That's where the new Wolves hockey team welcomed and honored the old boys as their real inspiration. It was a night to be remembered.